Glad to see everyone who could make it out this evening. I guess before I start, let me say I really enjoyed our meeting that we had. I thought that the topics were very well selected, and one of the things I really noticed that there certainly was a difference concerning our worship and our service. And I think some of the lessons that Brother Glenn gave us certainly showed us some of that separation as far as worshiping the Lord and also in serving Him in our day-to-day lives. So for our monthly topic, it was Christian life and be ye transformed. And of course, we've had a couple of lessons from Romans chapter 12, the first few verses. My topic this evening is the foundational verse that we find in James chapter 1 and verse 22. And we're going to read verses 22 through verse 25. There the Bible says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." As I was studying for this lesson, I ran across a little story about a group of people that were having a Bible study. And the church leader who was teaching, he was teaching the principles that we find in the Bible. He showed how to pick out the promises and the commands in the Scripture and explain what to do with them. And finally, after they had finished the study, he reviewed the information that he had given and the information that had been discussed. And then he asked a question. "Now, what do you do with the commands?" One person raised their hand and said, "Well, I underline them in blue." So, underlining the Bible commandments in blue, well, one thing, it makes for a colorful Bible, but the point of the commands was to obey them. Unfortunately, there are many who have knowledge of the Scriptures from the Bible, but they don't obey exactly what the Bible commands. And that's what James is teaching in this verse that we have this evening as our text. He is saying to hear the word and not to do it leads to deception, but to hear the word and do it leads to blessings. It's important to understand that James, as I was studying this, I looked in the dictionary at the introduction to the book of James, and it indicated that James is addressing Jewish Christians in this book. He's not writing to the pagans, but to those who regularly hear the word of God. Probably, they took comfort in the fact that they often heard God's word. That put them a notch above those pagans who never attended the worship service. Being Jewish Christians, some probably took pride in their observance of certain rituals and outward commands. They had been baptized. They took communion and observed the Lord's Supper. They attended worship service. They didn't steal. They didn't murder or commit adultery. But James gets right to the point. It's all about the heart. It's how we obey from our heart that is the teaching of this verse. Before we continue, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Well, the verse teaches us that to hear the word without doing it leads to self-deception. Obedience should always be the purpose of Bible study and Bible teaching. Correct application must always be made on correct interpretation. But to study the Bible just to have knowledge of the Scripture without applying the Word in our daily lives, it defeats God's purpose for giving it. Even Scripture that doesn't seem to matter, such as biblical genealogies, they are still profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We read that in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. James here gives us three warnings about those who hear the word without doing it. Hearers only of the word take a quick glance, but don't do anything to fix what they see. James uses this illustration of a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. He rushes out the door and forgets what he saw. Maybe he hadn't shaved in a couple of days, or maybe he slept wrong on his hair, or maybe he was just, he looked terrible. But he's late for work, and he's not all that concerned about how he looks, so he just quickly tries to smooth it out, and he rushes out the door, even though that he looks like he just got out of bed. The mirror showed him the problems, but he didn't do anything about it. And the Word of God is like that. It's like a mirror that reveals to us the very thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." What the Bible tells us, it shows us our ugly, self-centered attitudes. It exposes our pride. It confronts our contempt for others and our lack of compassion. It shows our sinful anger and our rotten speech. It uncovers our deception, greed, and our lust. But if we just take a quick glance at the word occasionally and rush out the door without doing anything to address the problems that it reveals to us as we read and study, it really won't do us any good. Hearing the word without doing it is a sign of our deceiving hearts. Like Adam and Eve when God confronted them, we are quick to blame others and we dodge our responsibility for our own sins. To be doers of the word, we have to give it more than just a passing attention of occasionally looking into the mirror. It requires deliberate focus and hard work to apply it personally. We continue to refer to the verse in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. There the Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So, what do we do with the commands of the Bible? Do we just underline them in blue? Well, if we're just a hearer of the word, that's exactly what we do. Hearers only of the word forget what they heard. The main point that James illustrates here is about the man in the mirror is that he quickly forgets what he saw. The mirror is not at fault. It tells it like it is. It shows us what we look like. But the man who takes this quick look quickly forgets what he saw, according to verse 24. There it says, "For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is." He is a forgetful hearer, and so he does nothing about the problem that he saw in the mirror. As you consider this, I don't think James is describing a man with a poor memory. James is describing a man with poor priorities. He doesn't remember what he saw in the mirror because he doesn't think it's that important. God, heaven, eternal life, and all the other doctrines in the Bible are very interesting. But this guy has a career to pursue. He's got money to make. He's got his hobbies and his toys that are his passion when he has time off. He forgets what God's Word says about his sins because, really, it just isn't all that important compared to all the other priorities of day-to-day living. There is a lot written in the Old Testament about the problem of forgetting God. Moses warned Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12. There he said, "Then be aware, lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And just two chapters later in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, he repeats, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And in Psalms 103 and verse 2, he warns the people, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And in Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18, it promises that the Lord's loving kindness is on those who remember his precepts to do them. There it says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." And then he adds in Psalms 106 and verse 21, "They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt." One of the last commands in the Old Testament we find in Malachi 4 and verse 4. It says, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments." You know, as we read this, we realize that Israel didn't have a memory problem. They had a priority problem. God's commandments just weren't that all important to them. They had other things that were more pressing. And as I read and study these verses for this lesson, I thought to myself, who does this sound like? It sounds like me. Sometimes I just have more important things to do. This is not about assembling to worship the Lord. The context of the verse is about our service to the Lord. It's about being a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only. You know, all parents have experienced this with their children at one time or another. You ask them to clean their room. You come back an hour later and they're playing, but the room hasn't been touched. You say, "I told you to clean your room." And they reply, "I forgot." Yeah, really. It's not that they have a memory problem, but cleaning their room is just not very high on their priority list. They forget what they see, because other things are more important. The Bible is very clear here. Hearers only end up deceiving themselves. James mentions this twice, one time in verse 22, and again in his illustration in verse 26. There is a danger in attending church and hearing the word proclaimed week after week. If you hear the word often but do not put it into practice, you deceive yourself. The solution is to apply the word to the problems in your daily life and what the word uncovers. As we read and as we study, we should always be asking, how does this apply to my life? And if you can't figure it out, go on to the next text that's a little bit plainer. Maybe another command that you can work on. I read a saying by Mark Twain. He said, "It isn't the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand." So in verse 26, James gives us an example of a man who hears the word but doesn't do it, and so he deceives himself. This man thinks that he is religious. James is describing a man who prides himself in knowing God's word but is not applying it to his heart. He is a religious man who now professes faith in Christ, but like many, his religion is a matter of pride and outward performance. He prays, he fasts, he tithes, he goes through all the rituals. But in James's example, he doesn't bridle his tongue. Not being able to bridle your tongue can lead to a multitude of sins. It leads to lying, half-truths, slander, gossip, angry words, hateful words, cursing, telling filthy jokes or stories, and much more. The Bible has specific commands on each one of these areas. The man that claims to have faith in Christ but doesn't apply the Bible to his speech is fooling himself if he thinks he's religious. His religion is worthless and his faith is empty. The only solution is to hear the word and do it. To hear the word and do it leads to blessings. Look at verse 25. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he does." The man that is blessed in hearing and doing, he looks intently into the word. It is good to read the Bible, but the doer of the word looks at it very carefully. The Greek word means to stoop and look carefully at something. It was used in the example of John and Mary stooping to look carefully into the tomb after the resurrection. In John 20 and verse 5 it says, "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in." And in chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb." This wasn't a casual, quick look. They looked very carefully, trying to see if the body of Jesus was inside. For the man who looks into a mirror that isn't a quick glance and then he rushes out the door, but rather a careful look of one who notices blemishes or maybe a spot or maybe some dirt on his face, and he takes the time to correct the problem. The hearer and doer applies the word not just to his outward behavior, but he applies it to his heart also. I want you to notice that James changes terminology in verse 25. Up until now, he mentions the word. Notice in verse 18, it says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of the truth." And in verse 21, "And receive with meekness the implanted word." In verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word." In verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word." But now, he refers to it as the perfect law of liberty. James, according to Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, was writing to Jewish readers. James knew that his fellow Jews were prone to keep the law outwardly, while their hearts were far from God. Like the rich young ruler, you remember the story. He thought he kept all the commandments of the law from his youth up. But the rich young ruler was violating the great commandment because he loved his money more than he loved God. Jesus rebuked the Jews in Matthew 15 and verse 8. There he says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." God's word, applied to our hearts, frees us from the bondage of sin. In John 8, verse 31 through 36, says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Listen. We must apply the word on the thought level if we want to overcome sin, because all sin stems from the heart. The hearer and doer continues applying the word to his heart every day. James adds in verse 25, "and continues in it." The Bible must be continually applied to our hearts over our entire lifetime. It's a long-term approach that requires discipline and diligence to reap the benefits. Psalms 1, verse 1 through verse 3 states, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The doer of the word looks intently at the word. He applies it not to just his outward behavior, but also to his heart. He continues to apply it over and over again throughout his entire lifetime. In closing, during our meeting with Brother Glenn, as he preached to us, I thought to myself of certain ones, family members and friends, that really needed to hear what was being said, how the sermon really applied to them. But James doesn't want us applying the word to someone else. He doesn't want us underlining all the commands in the Bible in blue. He wants us to apply it to ourselves. Let me close by asking a question. Do you want God's blessing in your life? And if you say yes, then James' answer is very clear. Don't be a forgetful hearer of God's word. Become an effectual doer, and you will be blessed by God. If there's one that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come as we stand and sing.